Well, and one of the things that that happened to me on yesterday morning, I woke up. You know, y'all know a lot of times I'll say that that you know, y'all deal with me. He deals with me most in detail, the most early in the morning, most of the time when I first wake up. As soon as I did, as soon as I woke up, I just said, I see now, yeah, I see. And when I said it, I really didn't understand why I was saying it, but from just saying that by the Spirit, then he went on to show me, what he gave me from the perspective of me saying I see. And in a nutshell, he gave me a clear understanding of what he was doing as far as the project is concerned. And Yah is he's setting up him a stage to show, and I'm gonna say it this way, the nations. And what I mean by the nations, I'm not talking about countries. I'm talking about different nationalities of people, races of people, however way you want to look at it, because we've had all nationalities or races of people, for whatever reason or another, that has either spoke against the project, tried to hinder the project, for whatever reason or another, and who have withheld things from us that we should have gotten as far as the project is concerned. There were certain funds and things like that that we should have gotten from grants and things like that that we had written. And one of the things that Yah said to me is that he allowed me he led me to apply for these grants for the sole purpose of exposing the mentality of these people. And then he's going to turn around and make them see, or he's going to do it in a way to let them see that it is his hand only that started the project. It is his vision. We just the carriers of it, and that he's going to finish it. And so he had me to write those grants in order to, again, for those people to reject me, and now their mindset is, they can't get it finished now because all the avenues that he's tried to do, we've closed all those doors. Well, they didn't know there's one door they can't get to. And that is the door of the one who has the master key to every, you know, to every circumstance. And so from that's what he's doing. And so there are some different things that, you know, especially from the wedding, from the wedding event, there are just some things that you know, that came into my mind during that time, and you know, come to find out, you know, Adam was thinking the same way about some things, and so it was kind of amazing once we just kind of started talking about it, and I was like, okay, there are a certain amount of income that this guy's making with what he does out there, and I'm like, we sure got way more facility than what he has to be able to do things similar, but at a whole lot better level of excellence. And then the way we put that wedding on in such a short period of time, we did that in less than 24 hours, really. And I don't think a lot of people realize that we got there. You know, we got there around 10 o'clock and did what took place, like I said, in less than 24 hours. And so you know, having our own facility, having the time to do things that we need to do. And there were some events that happened that even caused me to be there at the time that I was. You know, I found out around about 2:30, almost 3 o'clock, that I needed to take my brother-in-law and get a suit. So it's just events were happening, you know, and those things that I was, you know, had to do from the perspective of the wedding that just threw everything, you know, off when that happened. And it worked out okay because my mindset is this, and y'all will do things, and I was talking to him when we was on our way. I said, you know what, I said, we had the wedding planned for 5 o'clock, but y'all had it planned for another time. Everybody else is going to have to adjust. Because I become that sensitive to understand that, you know, a lot of time we on our time, we may not be on his time. We said 5, but y'all said no, the time that it happened is when I want it to happen. And so events happen to, you know, to allow that to be the case. It's not just making an excuse for time. It's just that we have to understand that when you be led, not all time you're going to go by time, as far as our time frame is concerned. And so, so we're just looking at some things. I had mentioned, and you guys have heard me say that before. I mentioned it in our town hall meetings when I was talking to, you know, the city official, and basically, you know, even the community. I had said, hey, you know, our mindset is we want to make this available for the community, but at the same time, if push comes to shove, we will. I just said we will pull within ourselves, so to speak, and we'll renovate areas at a time. And that's what you know, at this point we're willing to do. So we may renovate a certain amount of space where we can do / church event center, daycare. We can get the all the resources together to do that. We'll just do it in bits and pieces and get it all running over a period of time, and then look at everybody else on the outside and say, well, this is what y'all has done. Nobody's gotten credit for it. Nobody can say, well, I gave them this kind of funds and different things like this. At least nobody who has a bad heart. And what I mean by that, you know, EPA has done, you know, a wonderful thing for us, but obviously that still enabled us to give the glory to Yah. Because they didn't do it to control us or to be able to say this is us. They did it because they saw what we were trying to do in the community. And they said, you know, those people told me, said that it touched their hearts. And because it's what they do, they gave us the funds to do it. And so we're looking for any funds that will come from the outside to come in that manner where Yah can still be glorified. All these other places, Yah is closing the doors or has closed the doors.
I got a question. Them guys, are they working on the time frame?
The time frame that's been set is, I think, 40 days. They have it set for 40 days. But it may be less, or maybe a little bit more. It just depends. But the time frame that's set is 40 days. And so,
just that's 40 days to asbestos and gut everything.
Yeah, they're gonna. When we go in there, it's just gonna be open space. You know, I went
right.
I went in there. When was that? Yeah, I went in there yesterday, and I was shocked at how far they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the removal of the asbestos, but just getting things prepared for the removal.
Right.
It was just it was just awesome to see how much they had progressed and stuff like that, and so. So they ain't half stepping up there, and the company that's doing the abatement for us, Ambrose basically said, he said, you know what, he said, that's a miracle of Yah itself.
Right.
He said, because the size of this building and the amount of things that was done in there, he said, you know, $300,000-$400,000.
But you know what would be good too? If they can take out the walls.
Everything.
That we not, that I know, I don't know if you got a something wrote up, a plan to have the walls certain ways so they could take out the walls while they got the dumpsters already out there.
Everything. You hear me? They're going to take out everything. You ain't going to see
some walls we may need and some walls we may not need. We don't need no walls.
None of them. Okay. They ain't in no, they ain't in no condition.
What about the wall around the kitchen part?
Nothing. Ain't nothing in there we need.
Oh, okay.
So when we come, when you come in there, all you're going to see is like this here.
Square wall.
With pillars in the middle. That's
right.
All you're going to see.
Okay.
And that's how much they're going to clean it out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And so
we're going to have to go in there. We decide to put a wall. We're going to have to put a wall.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do everything.
Okay.
It's just a shell when they get through.
Okay.
That's how much they're going to clean it up. And so, like that, and that's why he was saying it. He said, for them to do that at the price that they agreed to do it, he said that alone in itself is a miracle. He said because he actually said, he said that should have cost you about $500,000.
I know. That's
what he said.
Walls.
As he said, he said it should have cost you about $500,000 to do all what they're doing. You know, and so I talked to him a little bit about grace when we jumped in the lesson. I talked to him a little bit about grace. And I was saying, you know, obviously we understand what grace is. You know, the key point is that whenever we see, whenever we hear the word grace, we automatically see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if anybody talking to you about the goodness and favor of Yah, then you don't look at a thing. You see the mental picture that should come in our mind is Christ, because he's the avenue by which the Father has given us goodness and favor. And so, after I explained it to him, tears came to his eyes. I said, so when you hear the word grace, I said, or when you see the grace of Yah, the goodness and favor of Yah upon our ministry, I said, when a person look at that building, I said, they don't say, wow, look at y'all. They said, man, that's Yah. Just like he said from the perspective of the removal of the asbestos and the cleaning up of the building, he said, that's a miracle of Yah. So that's grace. When Yah is in it, it takes us completely away from ourselves. And I told myself, if there's anything that any goodness and favor that happens in the individual's life, and if when someone else hears about it and they don't praise Yah, it's not Yah. Because everything that Yah does, it is designed to bring him the glory. You may be shining with it, but the glory is his. It may bring the light up on us, but the glory is all his. And so when I got through explaining to him, tears in his eyes, he said, man, he said, now I fully understand you. He said, all these years, you know, he said, I've learned so much from you from a perspective of just, you know, things we've talked about as far as the Bible is concerned. He said, but to be here on this property and to understand everything out of all these years I've been knowing you, 20-something years I've been knowing you, he said, everything makes sense now. So now I understand why you say the things you do, the way you carry yourself from the perspective of the Word and explain it. He said, everything is clear now for me sitting here on this property and looking at it, seeing the miracle with these contractors in here, seeing the miracle of the building, knowing that, you know, AT&T gave it to you guys, seeing all these different miracles and how, you know, the city tried to stop it and how people have tried to take it and all these things, and to see everybody fall on their face. I just saw something.
Especially the guy across the street.
Exactly. I mean, Brother Law knows, you know, some of y'all know some things, but Brother Law knows some in detail when it comes down to that circumstance, because he saw what the guy was doing, and he saw how we never said anything to him. We just, you know, he was doing all that. We never, you know, tried to jump, you know, we never got into, we never decided to use the weapons of our warfare from the perspective of carnal, being carnal. We always fought by the Spirit. He was acting fool. We kept our character. He'd be sitting on the porch looking for everything, taking pictures, doing all kinds of stuff. We never say a word. And I say this without a doubt. That cost that man his life. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it. Because he came after something that belonged to Yah, Yah used him as a tool for a specific time, and once Yah finished with him, Yah said, it's going to cost you your life. He's judged that man for hindering something that was that violent. That guy didn't have a clue what he got in, what he was getting himself into. He know now. Mm-hmm. He know now. And so to experience the things, you know, like I said, what Ambrose said, to experience the things that he is, it just brought him to a revelation about what we were really about and where we're headed. And I said all that by the leading of Yah just to encourage us to know that we called to do something special. Mm-hmm. And it's happening now, right now. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by it's happening right now, a manifestation of it is happening right now. Right now. And so so we just continue to get prepared. Each one of us keep our focus on the things of Yah. We are United Ministries. We got to stay unified in our whole consciousness. We got to stay unified because Yah is doing something wonderful, and when he's finished with it, all of us going to be sitting back smiling saying, man, look what he did. Look what he did. It wasn't our ability. We were just tools, but look what he did. You know. And I just wanted to, let y'all know that and just to give you the information to encourage you. So we're not saying that we're going to not finish the whole thing. We're just saying that we're willing to do it however way y'all wants to do it. If there's steps at a time, which will obviously allow us to close the door completely on anybody who is not who Yah does not want to assist in the project in any way, because like I said, once we renovate a certain amount of square footage of the space, that's the mistake. And I love how Yah is doing this because it is the mistake that people from the outside is making. Their mindset is they have to complete the whole thing. And they don't have a clue in realizing that, no, we don't. We just like to complete the whole thing. And so it's making it available to the community as a whole. But like what I told them, I said, we can renovate 1,000 square foot of space and be just as happy.
And the wonderful part about it, we got Paul.
Exactly. 1,000 square foot of space and be just as happy. We don't have to. We can renovate 500 square foot of space. We don't have to renovate a specific amount of space in that property in order to go in there. Because once it's clean, it's just like a clean room. You know, and so we have a lot more freedom than what people on the outside who have bad intentions realize. We have a lot more freedom. But before I read, before we go to Exodus 20, we're going to go to Psalms. It just came to mind as I was talking about this. So we'll go to Psalms. Let me see which Psalms. He may lead us to stay here, or we just see, because it came up in my heart to share it, and so I want to do that, and then if he has nothing else along the lines of that, then we'll move back into. And I'll just pray, just Father, I would bless you on today. We just thank you for how you are developing the kingdom of Yah within us, and so we can manifest it in the earth. We just ask you to give us wisdom and understanding on today, so that we may go forward and put everything that you've given us into action. And we praise you in the name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Let me get to... Psalms 92. Let me make sure. Y'all, I do so much reading. All that stuff just started to... Oh, Psalm 91. All right. We may end up here the rest of the night. Psalms 91, verse 1. And remember where we remember where the Exodus, whatever. Keep that for next week just in case we don't get there, and we probably won't. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth, we won't get there. Psalms 91, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Y'all know this is familiar because we make these confessions. They're in our confession that Alan or either Janice does for us, and so they're in there. So Psalms 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Yah, in him will I trust. And y'all know we've dealt with that from a perspective of from a perspective of trust. We've dealt with that quite a bit, so we're not going to spend time on that. Then it says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And that's just something that gives us an understanding from the perspective of an individual who sits a trap. So because of verse 1 and 2, we have confidence that any trap or snare, any type of trap that sit for us, and we know that there are some things that's even happened as far as our project, whereby there have been traps laid. And so when you see snare of the fowler, that's what that is giving us an understanding of. Matter of fact, again, it just says the snare of the fowler. Snare meaning like something that springs, a spring net or something like that. So it says snare of the fowler. And from the Norsum pestilence, and that also deals with the word Norsum. Norsum also deals with perverse. Something that's mischievous, okay? And so when you look at the mischievous associated with it, it could be something of a natural cause, but then at the same time, it has more of a connotation of an individual or some type of circumstance that's put in place to try to. To try to cause destruction. Anytime you see the word pestilence, it's associated with some form of destruction. You can look at the plague, pestilence, whatever you want to call it, as far as when our nation was in Egypt. And so you look at the NOSM, it just brings it from a standpoint of its mischief or it's at a more concrete or devious manner when you look at the pestilence, NOSM pestilence. So then say he shall cover thee with his feathers. And so we obviously understand that when you think about a feather, I'm an old country boy, so when I see that, it's very clear to me because we used to raise chickens. And when we raise chickens, I know every time the little baby chicks will feel like they're in danger, they would run under the wings of the mother hen. And so when we look at Yah from that perspective, although he's the father, he has the protective nature of that mother hen. That's why I'm showing from that perspective. Or an eagle or something like that, any type of animal that would cover their young for protection with the wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. We run to safety, again, as the baby chicks or whatever, we run to safety. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And so when you look at the word shield, it goes from a perspective of some you use, you know, a shield you would use as a guard, as a guard or something that you would use as a guard. The buckler is also the same manner, but it points out where that protection is. In a nutshell, obviously it's under the wings of Yah, but it also points out that we're there because of the trust that we have in Yah. Okay. And then it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. When you look at a lot of sicknesses and diseases and stuff like that, there are a lot of things that happen in the night. You'd be surprised at things that go on at night that has to do with things that the system does, even as far as pestilence and things like that. Even when you look at things that happen in Egypt with our nation, there was a lot of things that happened from that perspective. So then it says, again, not a pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasted, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. Now here's the verse, especially from the things that we were just discussing, and you find people that will take this verse, at least all the times that I've heard it, it could have been taught from a different perspective, but every sitting that I have been in, I recall being in or have heard any Christian talk about it, it always gave the impression that it was something about us that made things happen according from the perspective of verse 7. It goes along the line of touch not thine anointed type of mentality. But when you look at it from the perspective of Yah, through the eyes of Yah, then we see it for what it really means. Because as you look from verse 1 through 4, it makes it, verse 1 through 6, it makes it clear that there is a source. The source that makes it possible for us to experience verse 7. Okay, we understand that we're running under the wings. We understand that we, you know, he covers us with his feathers. We understand that he's our refuge and our fortress. Our trust is in him. So it's like the same thing as far as grace is concerned. Everything that we see leading up to verse 7 and even beyond it is Yah. We're learning how to see Yah instead of sticking our chest out and then want to say that these things are happening because of the anointing that's up on us. But it takes the so to speak religious anointing off of us, and it lets us know that it is not the anointing up on me that makes me protected and all that, and you can't mess with me, is where I run or where I abide, where we run, where we abide, when danger is there, we abide in a place. We are under the feathers of something. There's a shield and a buckler that belongs to somebody else that we're benefiting from. Okay? With that perspective now in mind, you read verse 7 and it becomes clear. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Question, why? This is class. Why would 1,000 fall at our side now? Why? Why would you think 1,000 would fall at our side? Now again, I'm going to feed you information because I want you to, you know, I'm the type that's giving you the question. And I want you to get it right so bad that I'm going to give you cheat sheet, you know, kind of deal. And so, based upon everything that we just covered, what is the source by we have, who has the feathers?
Yeah.
Who has the wings? Who has the wings? Who has the feathers?
Yeah.
Who has the wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I told you I'm giving you the answer. I'm just giving you a cheat sheet. Whose shield is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose buckler?
Yeah.
Okay, so if all of that belongs to Yah, then how does 1,000 fall at our side?
By Yah.
In other words, it now takes the focus completely off of us, and when things are falling, we don't sit there and say, I'm a bad man of a general, but that's the anointing on my life. You can't touch me. I'm too anointed for you to touch. No, we in something.
Mm-hmm.
We in something. And so as we look at verse 7 there, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Now, when you look at thy right hand, if we get prideful, now we start saying, see my hand. No, let's just say your hand right here, and they falling by it. It is not saying that our hand is the source. It's revealing that because our hand is in a specific place, that's anything that come to try to attack or do something to that hand, that's where they go down there. That's where they go down. Even from the perspective of what Brother Law mentioned about the guy, he fell at our right hand, but ain't nothing we did. We didn't say a word. In other words, he tried to come in a secret place.
Right.
That's what he did. And so we understand that now we connect again to 2 Corinthians 10:5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through Yah for the pulling down of stronghold. I don't need to fight with you. I can just get in a specific place, and you come in there, and you get all that whooped out of you. You're going down if you come at the place where I dwell. People going down if they come to the place where you dwell, because they're fighting now or trying to enter into a area to fight you. And here's the key: they can't even get nowhere close to you. And that's what we're experiencing as far as the ministry is concerned. So it says 1,000 shall fall. The word fall. The word fall, cast down, die. Cast down, die. What you saw happen to the, and we don't want to gloat in. I'm going to say this way. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're exposing how Yah works. We're from us talking about these things, it causes us to operate in humility because we're seeing the hand of Yah and how he worked with the nation when the nation started to fall within fall in line with Yah. So what we experience as far as one man fall is a sign to let us know that all men will fall who come against what belongs to Yah. Okay, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and that just means at your side, an adversary. Your adversary will fall. This is 10,000 at thy right hand. at thy right hand or side, okay, in your sight even, okay. Then it says, but it shall not come nigh thee. So if it's not coming even near me, then I can't be the source. I can't be the source. It got to be where I dwell that makes an individual, although he see me. And so I have to use again the guidance and things recently happened to. See, we were in his sight. We were in his sight, and he was doing all these things as an adversary to try to destroy what he felt like was us. But yet he didn't see what we were dwelling in. And even though he thought that he was close enough to touch us, he was nowhere even close. He was across the street. That's as far as he got. Yet he thought he was racked. He actually had his hand around our neck. Because we was in his view. But when it was all said and done, and we look back on it, he didn't come nowhere close. He fell at our right hand. Nowhere even close. Okay? And so that's what this is saying. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and 10,000 at thy, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold. I remember the last time I went up to the building and saw him sitting on the bush.
And I got something to say, too. He thought he had a big deal because he know the head court enforcer that was over the court, that stuff that they call that, the court people.
Yeah.
He had a bigger hand than that, and he failed on that.
He had connections.
Yeah.
He had inside connection that if he had done that with anybody else, it would have worked. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact he dealt with a guy that we know that on a tree service, he dealt with that guy the same way because he didn't like the fact that we was allowing the guy to use our property for certain things for a period of time. He didn't like that, and so he went out there, got to it, almost destroyed his business. I want to destroy this business. But he came out to us the same way, but didn't even come nowhere close. But we saw what happened with him, though. That's what they're saying. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Y'all said, I'm going to let y'all see what's going to happen I'm going to let y'all see. You're going to be protected, but then at the same time, I'm going to let you see what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you see the destruction of the wicked who come. I'm going to let your eyes see it. You're going to see it. And that's the
benefit of walking in righteousness.
Yes, sir. You beat me to the words, but you said it even better than what I was going to say. Say it again.
The reason why I was going to say it, I said is that the benefit of walking in righteousness, but what I was going to say.
You asked it in question form, but it was a good answer. Go ahead.
So the question I was going to bring to the table thought wise is when the whole world is going to be operating under righteousness during a 1,000-year millennial reign, doesn't it say they'll be able to look over into the abyss and see the consequences of what happened when people don't line up to Yah? So it's almost like, you know, these things that we can experience now is just like the precursor of that that's going to be going on in the future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See here, now notice what we've been talking about, fam. We've been talking about the specifically on Sunday, just the G-Race, the sons of Yah. And what we've been saying is that there comes a time or the G race separates from what belongs to Yah and what does not. So the mindset or the state of the church, the mindset of the church, now so-called church, the mindset of it is that they look at Psalms 91 and they decree it based upon their own ability. And that's the very thing that's causing destruction to come in the church. That's why they come in and rob from the church. come in, you know, you got all these things that's going on because people think that it is their anointing that keeps these events from taking place. And y'all like, I'm gonna show you ain't nothing on you. Everything on you is what I put on you. And if you ain't lining up with me, it ain't on you. You can be just like Samson and wake up and shake yourself all you want to and go out there and try to whoop this Philistine, but if I ain't got my anointing on you, ain't nothing going to take place.
You know what it reminded me of?
Yeah.
Scenario, Noah. He was out there building that ark and people laughing at him, calling him all kind of names. What are you building that for? It's not going to rain.
Exactly. And so when you look at it, you know, Samson was not aware that the Spirit of Yah had left him. And he jumped up to operate the way he always had operated. And ended up getting beat up and eyes put out and all that. And before it was said and done, he got back in right standing with Yah and then took them all out. It's the only way we're going to take them out. Other than that, we get taken out. You know, and so when you look at things from that perspective, he's saying, again, it's what separates. It is the thinking whereby the Spirit will slide in on our mind. I always use that, being led. The Spirit will slide in on our mind, and from that perspective, we will see things. The so-called church is not seeing things because the so-called church is caught up in itself. When we turn completely to Yah, first of all, as a nation of people, it has to be Israel first. Then all other nations who are willing to line up and be grafted into our nation. When we all line up with the Spirit of Yah, line up with Yah and trust Him, Yah said, you're going to see stuff happen to people that comes out. You're going to see it, but it ain't nothing about you because you know where you dwell. You're going to see it. You're going to sit around here and say, well, you know, someday they're going to get there in Judgment Day. No, I know where I dwell. They get it when I see it, where I can see it. We saw the destruction of a man who came after us with a vengeance. He was an adversary to the highest degree, and we saw his destruction. I have no doubt whatsoever it cost him his life. We saw his destruction. And so he's saying now, he's saying in verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward. You look at the word reward, it's what's that, Shulamah, which means retribution. Okay, recompense. Oh, you think you're going to, y'all say, you think you're going to mess with mine and you're not going to pay the price? He said, not only are you going to pay the price, but I'm going to let mine see you get your price paid. So, guess what? There's a lot of folks we finna see get their reward. Did I say it right? Reward for things that they've done. The city, all these other entities that have from a mean-spirited decided to come together and become an adversary to what Yah had called us to do, we're going to see it all come down on every last one of them. We're going to see it. Now, it ain't something we should boast about. It's just so we understand Scripture because we know where we dwell and we know based upon where we dwell what Yah says is going to take place. So we can expect it. Matter of fact, if it don't happen where we can see it, then it's a testament against us that we don't belong to Yah. If we belong to Yah, we should see the destruction come on our enemy, our adversary. And so that is something that should not make us operate in pride because we know, again, whose feathers we under, whose wings are we under, whose buckler is it, whose shield is it, where does all these things belong that we dwell in that causes us to get the results that we get. We trust in that place, and Yah said this is what happens when you do, when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. How many of you have ever went and dwelt in a secret place apart from Yah? Let me change that because I want you to see this. How many of you have ever dwelt in somebody's secret place? Somebody's hiding place that they only knew? Nobody. Nobody go and dwell in a place that's secret because we don't know where it is. But that's my point. That's why I said it that way. I might not gave a good example, but that's what I meant. Nobody go dwells in a secret place. You don't know what a secret place is. It's secret. So Yah does us, or he brings us that understanding and let us know, when you there, don't nobody know where you are per se. So they're looking at you from a natural standpoint, but you're in a secret place, and they don't even see the place where you dwell. They're just looking at you. And so when they come, they wonder why. I just saw this. What is that? You know those alien movies and things? What was it, Independence Day? You know when they was trying to get to them aliens, and every time they some kind of shield or force field or something like that? They don't know. They're coming trying to hit you, and all of a sudden they don't hit a force field. They don't know you're in a secret place. They're looking at you saying, "Raw meat, let me get to it as fast as I can, do something to it." All of a sudden, you're in a force field. You're in a secret place, but the secret place belongs to the Most High.
I have a couple comments.
Go ahead. I can drink while you're talking.
So, thoughts just come to me. So when you look at it, when we position ourselves to be in Yah, anything that comes against us is actually coming against Yah.
Now you see it.
So that's the difference. When I'm out there on my own, what comes against me is coming against me. But when I position myself to be in Yah, then anything that, because I'm in Yah, what I'm doing is in Yah's will. So anything that's coming against me is coming against Yah, and those battles I don't have to fight.
Exactly.
Yah fight his own battles.
Right.
They at that point, they come against Yah, not you.
Right.
And so the other thing was, it's an interesting dynamic in that it's a secret place, but it can be put on display. Mm-hmm. It's the best way I can put it. So that it's kind of like a glass house, is the best way I can put it.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can see twofold. The best way I can, people can see twofold, either to be drawn into Yah or to try to attack you and Yah deal with them one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. You know, even from the perspective of what you said, the scripture came to mind where he said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what people don't realize is that, like what Alan said, even what brother-in-law had mentioned, when he was like, okay, all these different avenues, they've come after us, and they all have failed. Ambrose said the same thing. He said, man, they've come after you so many ways over the years. Every last one of them have failed because they were coming after me, but they didn't know where I dwell.
Mm.
That's why every last one of them, I saw every enemy that came against us and our project fall. Mm. Every last one of them. Mm. Every last one of them. Let me get you, and then I get you, Tony. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I got a perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started pumping the water, we was pumping the water in the back.
Right.
And they tried to come and give us a ticket, but He showed us.
Exactly.
Y'all showed us,
mm-hmm,
that we had to pump the draining pipe right there in front of the door.
In front of
the door. And when them code enforcement people came back, they like, how y'all know that?
Exactly.
How y'all know about, how about this? Who told y'all about this?
And try.
I mean, they came to write us a ticket line. They were coming to write us up.
So did.
And we was pumping the water in the right spot at the right time when they came up.
And you remember, they were so upset about it.
They were.
They were trying to get the names of the city people who told.
Yes.
A city guy with the sewer department of the,
yes,
city came and said, well, y'all know you got drains right there on the porch. Came there, showed us, pulled,
yeah,
a drain up in the street, and said, see, yeah, it runs down right here.
Yeah.
So you can pump it down right here from the drain right here.
And when they came,
we was pumping right there. They were asking. It went all the way up to the to the top
they
of them trying to find it.
They jumped on the phone quick.
They trying to find these guys to cost them their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew who showed up from the city and told them.
Yep.
Nobody knew. And that's how many traps and things like that they had set for us. And everything they tried failed. Even from the perspective they said we're gonna go after him personally. Well, they didn't know we set up as a corporation. You can't go after an individual. The corporation protects the individual. So when I was sitting there, they was like, don't you own the building? I said, no, Project United owns the building. Well, who are you? I'm an agent of Project United. On legal documents, I own Project United, but Project United owns the building. So in order for you to go after someone, you need to go after Project United, who, by the way, does not exist because they're a corporation. Or it is a corporation. So you can't come after me personally because the corporation protects me as an individual. So you can't come after me and my assets or make me pay a fine for Project United. You can't do that. That goes against the laws that's been set up in this land. Mm. Every time they came at us, Josh said, I'm going to make them fall at our side. Now they're scared of us.
Yeah, because when they found out we were pumping water out there, we was porta pumping, then they tried to put a meter on us.
Exactly. And so city officials have been passing every day.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot come now either. So I said, they can pass, but they can't come. And Ambrose was sitting there chuckling. He said, they can pass all they want to, but the minute they put foot on this property, he said, I step into my authority by the laws of dealing with asbestos. He said, I will say no one can come on this property because we can't be liable for your health because we're dealing with hazardous material and you cannot be on this property. He even said that he's the president of the United States can come on this property and I can tell him he can't enter. And he has to abide by the law. So all they can do is pass by, but they can't touch. And so that's what he's doing. What is that you had, Tony?
Oh, I was just looking at Alan talking about the secret place for you. Is to be in the secret place where God has shown me, it's like when D first got killed, God said, I got you. And then when I called Lon and I called him, the first thing you said was, God got you. And it's like I was in this place to where it was like, I want to say, he wouldn't allow me to have emotions because he had me and people was wondering. It's like I could see everything that was going on, but I could not react the way Tanya wanted to react. So he had me in this place, and it was, he said, I got you. And he had me in the secret place to where the response that people saw was the response from God. And it's like, people came to me and say, well, I thought you was going, you're in denial, you in this. No, I wasn't. God had me, and it was the most peaceful place that you could ever imagine. He protected me. The key word was like, he protected me. He shielded me. And it's like, even when Tanya wanted to be in Tanya and react, he would not allow it. He said, I got you. And that was the word through the whole process that God told me, that my pastor told me. And it was like, just gave me confirmation on what God already said. And without him even knowing it, and I told him, I said, Lon, when I called you and you said, don't worry, God got you, and that's all I had heard through the whole process. And so when you in that secret place, it's such an awesomeness that you couldn't even begin to imagine. Your imagination don't even do it justice because it's just like perfect peace. No matter how you try to get into self, it's like just perfect peace.
Okay. Now, when you look at, again, verse 8, because I'm looking at the time, we want to stay on schedule. when you look at the time frame, because there are a few important verses that I want to deal with before we dismiss on today. Verse 8 again, he says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 now, because thou hast made Jehovah, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So everything that we talked about, verse 7 and all that, only happened because of where we inhabit. Because we may have made him thy habitation. When you look at thy habitation, it means dwelling. We made him our dwelling place, our den. This is a place where we tent, where we camp out, where we live. That it is the only source by which enables us to receive or to experience this type of protection. Only because thou hast. Ain't no other way. Ain't no anointing on me. Ain't no, if you want to call it anointing, we got to give to where it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't something that's up on me because I've been praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get people, you get preachers that will try to prop themselves up as being something special because, well, I confess this every day and I pray this bitch and I study the word and because of that, the anointing is up on my life. Well, the only reason why I got the anointing is because I trust. I may not have a teacup worth of word in me, but if I trust y'all, he said, you get into play. Same benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Same benefit. You can be full of the word, or you can have a little word, but if you trust, he said, same benefit. Now I understand how my grandparents operated the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I had a granddaddy who wasn't even a deacon. He was just a layman. I saw him cast out devils and all that. He didn't know a lot of word, but he had trust. He dwelt in the secret place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. You had something else?
I think that understanding, or even that concept, when you look at people putting on the, giving out the impression that you have to do all these things, it becomes a barrier between people and Yah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have somebody in a position of authority, I'm not saying that a position of authority isn't something to be respected, but if you're in that position and you give the impression that, you know, you have to do all these certain things in order for y'all to deal with you, it becomes a hindrance between the people and God, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you understand, like what you just said, all you got to do is trust him, you can start anywhere. Anybody can start. And so it's like it opens the gate, basically, is the best way I can put it,
mm-hmm.
where instead of creating this divide between
right.
the people and God.
Right. Now you look at the thing that we discussed last Sunday, whereas we dealt with, O ye of little faith, we dealt with that. Now we understand that everyone has, based upon Romans 12 and 3, all of us have a measure of faith. But when you look at the measure, it has nothing to do with size. And you take the same concept that Alan just mentioned, meaning that it can be from the perspective of a grain of mustard seed, but we know what a mustard seed want to do. It want to be planted in the ground and grow and keep going, consistency. But at the same time, like what Alan said, it doesn't matter where we start, we all get the same benefit. No matter. That's why when you look at the concept from the perspective of the workers who were coming in and they were given certain amount, and you had some who were there they're all day, still got the same amount of money. You got some who showed up 10 minutes before it was time to quit, got the same amount of money. Because y'all say, it ain't no respect of person when they come down to my kingdom. Wherever you get in on it, wherever you start to trust, all the benefits come in.
Mm-hmm.
So a person can be in this for 30 years, and a person can join the kingdom today. Same benefit, same dwelling place. So it takes the pride off of us to want to think that because we've been doing something for a while or because we understand something a little better than somebody else, it puts something on us that nobody else is able to walk in like we, you know, preachers try to push off on people. Now, we all in this secret place. It's equal opportunity employment in that secret place. Okay. Now, Again, he said, because, verse 9, because thou hast made Jehovah, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no. Now you understand why I say the things that I do, and I'd be like, I ain't scared of Illuminati, I ain't scared of government, I ain't scared of none of them, because I know where I live. And I don't care how big they are, how big the cannon, how big the guns, how big the bombs, I know they can't come in a secret place. All I got to do is stay in there. Mm-hmm. Well, I say the things that I do. No evil shall befall. I understand the scripture. I trust the scripture. I trust Yah. No evil. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Where do we dwell? It ain't talking about the house you live in. We go all the way back up the bird. Ain't nothing coming in that dwelling. Y'all hearing this now? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, when you talk about plague, it ain't just talking about, you know, diseases and things like that. It has to do with blows. It has to do with strokes and things like that. Anything that's designed to bring harm to us physically in any way. Okay. Come not our dwelling. Why? For he shall give his angels charge over thee. You remember what the prophet, I came out, I think it was Elisha, I believe. He was with the servant. And them armies surrounded them. And the servant was afraid. Elijah, I think it was Elisha. It was Elijah or Elisha, but I want to say it was Elisha. And Elisha standing there just as bold, servant all wearing and stuff like that. Elisha said, Jehovah opened his eyes that he could see. And he said, whoa, master, it's more with us than it is with them. Once that boy scale would take off that boy out, that boy saw the host of the angels of Yah, the army Yah had surrounded the army that had them surrounded. You'd be surprised what we got around us when we dwell in a secret place. And so when he said, take the scales off my servant's eyes so he can see what's really with us, and he was like, behold, look at the armies of Yah. The whole mountain was full of angels and the armies of Yah ready to do battle up on the army that was trying to do something to the servants of Yah. And that's what this verse is saying to us. For he shall give. I don't have to worry about nothing coming to my dwelling. Why? Because I'm in the secret place, and in the secret place there is authority and power associated with it, and I got something that's looking after me. You have something looking after you. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in what? All thy ways. If my ways is trust, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, if all my ways I acknowledge and trust Yah, then angels now are obligated to now protect us in all our ways. If my ways are Yah, then I'm protected in all my ways. If your ways are Yah, then we're protected in all our ways. For he shall give his angels charge. The word charge means enjoin, appoint. I'm charging. I'm sending messengers. They're in order. I will give angels charge over thee to keep. When you look at the word keeps, it means a hedge about. Remember when I told you I was walking in South Dallas, and they was like, yeah, you think you're bad because you got them two big old guys walking around with you. That's because angels had me hedged about. I couldn't see them, but y'all let them see them. They kept saying, yeah, you think you're bad because you got them two big old dudes walking with you. I'm like, what you talking about? I got two big, man, I'm here by myself. Nah, that's all right. You got them two big old dudes. I said, they must be some big dudes. Walking on each side of me, a hedge. Boys wasn't coming over there. It's about 20 of them. They wasn't coming over there. So apparently, there must be some big old dudes. It was looking real intimidating for 20 guys to say, I don't want no part of that. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall, this is the verse, we're going to stop here. They shall bear thee up in their hands. See, our mind is so simple when we see that we think flying angels with wings and we falling down and they burn us up. You know, from the perspective of what Christ said, you know, when Satan was trying to get him to cast himself over. But no, let's deal with this from the true meaning of what Christ was saying and what this verse is saying, because Christ is not going to declare anything that cannot be confirmed by the law, the prophets, and the Son. We're in some, so what Christ is meaning, we're finna confirm it in this verse right here. So when you go read it in Matthew 4, and he tells Satan, you know, he said, cast yourself down, for it is written that the angels said, this is what Satan was quoting, Psalm 91. And so the way Christ answered it is the way we're finna rightly divide it to understand it. It wasn't Christ was saying, if I jump, they're going to burn me up with wings. Their wings, because, you know, they're flying. I'm falling down, so let the angels fly down and burn us up. That's how we see it from a perspective of carnality. So we think angels are flying around in case we falling down. They, you know, they swooping down and keeping us like a bird swoop down and keep the baby chick from hit the ground. That ain't what they're saying to us. Here's what it's really saying. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. It's preventative measure. The angels are in charge over me. The two is walking beside me in South Dallas to prevent something from happening, to prevent me from falling. So when Christ made the statement, you know, when Satan was trying to use the scriptures pervertedly, and Christ turned around and said, you don't tempt Yah, he was saying in a nutshell, no, I'm not going to cast myself off of this cliff. I'm not going to tempt Yah. I understand the true meaning of what Psalms is saying. It is saying that this is all preventative measure. I don't jump out and do some foolishness and then hope y'all going to get in there and save me. No, because I have the angels charge over me and I dwell in the secret place, I keep from doing foolishness. Lest I fall. He protects me to keep me from falling. That's the concept about what we understand. So Satan took the scriptures and perverted it to try to get Jesus to jump off the mountain. But Jesus was like, no, we don't, it's written. You don't tempt the Lord, thy Yah. Why would I jump off this mountain? I understand what that really means. That means that the angels have charge over me, so I don't have to worry about the enemy coming even nigh me to cause me to fall. I don't have to even worry about fall, because the angels have charge over me. I didn't have to worry about the 20 guys beating me up. The angels were there for preventative measure, lest I fall. Because if they wasn't there, they would have got me. Preventative measure. For he shall give his angels, verse 11, charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They keeping me, I don't have to be concerned at all about falling. I don't have to fall and then the angels tear me up. The angel said, boy, don't worry about it. You just keep walking. You're not going to even stumble at all. That's the true meaning. Okay? Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hand. They're bearing you up. The angels are protecting. They're bearing us up. They're with us everywhere we go, bearing us up. Because if they didn't, you'd be shocked. The destruction that was out there waiting on you. You'd be shocked right now, the destruction that's out there waiting on you as you walk out the door. But the angels said, you'll never know about it because we're keeping you from falling. If y'all actually showed up how many times the enemy had set the fowler, the traps and snares that has been set for us in our lifetime, if you had any idea how many times you would sit up to die, but it didn't happen because you were dwelling in a secret place, you'd be amazed. Now you understand the boldness that I have and what we all should have and why I say the things that we do, that I do. I ain't scared of nothing because I know nothing can get in the place where I dwell. Now, I can be a fool and come out of there. So if I come out of there, then I'm going to get got. They're going to get to me if I come out of there. That's why we trust y'all and we don't ever come out of there. All right? I'm going to read it again. If y'all don't have any comments, I'm going to let you go because I'm 20 minutes past schedule. Verse 12. Yeah, I said, no, you're not. You're right on time. Okay. Verse 12 said, they shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on the feet. How do we take out the lion and the adder, the poisonous snakes and things like that? How do we trample these things on the feet? Because he has set his love upon thee, upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. In other words, Yah now starts to speak. Yah said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You can't stay low when you belong to Yah. He'll set us on high. Okay. I'll set thee up on high, the word high, and then I'm going to go ahead and close. The word high means safe. Okay, on high, you'll be strong, we'll be strong, we'll be safe, we'll be defended, we'll be exalted, excellence, all those things associated with being sit on high. So we hit up, when we sit on high, it still brings all the glory to him, because it lets us know that, okay, how do they always get past the destruction? How did Project Canaan always get past the destruction? How did we always get past the destruction that they were trying to do for us as far as our project? Because Yah had set us on high. He made us safe because of where we dwell. All right? Any questions or comments at this point? Anything? We got it? All righty. I'll go ahead and stop there. Father Yah, we bless you on today. And we thank you for giving us the privilege to dwell in your secret place. And we just ask you to continue to give us the wisdom and understanding to know that you are the source by which we live. And we're excited about understanding this fact and even having more opportunity to experience your grace. And we bless you in the name of our Savior who has made it all possible. Through you giving him as the gift. In his name we do pray. Amen.